So today is Easter Sunday. Today is the day that represents when Jesus rose from the dead. He walked out of the tomb that he was buried in. 3 days ago, he was nailed to a cross, left to die, and buried in a tomb. 3 days ago was a day of great loss, great despair, confusion, hope gone. Then, all hope was restored because Jesus is alive. What Jesus did while he was here on this earth by allowing himself to be nailed to the cross, he did it for all of us. He did it for our benefit. And so today is the final message of a three-part series titled, He Did It All For Us. If you missed the first two, that's okay. But if you like what you hear today, you can go to our website, vineyard05.com. Part one was last Sunday, Palm Sunday. Part two was Good Friday. And today is the final sermon. And then, for the next two Sundays, we're going to do a two-part series called What Now? What do I do now, after Easter? And then after that, we're going to pick up our Book of Revelation series. So we started that in January 2023. We took our time with it. We took some breaks. We're on a little bit of a break with it now. We're going to pick it back up. And I think we're going to find that the timing of some of our world events and that study might coincide with each other. So get ready for that as well. But today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the benefits we gain by putting our trust in the fact that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. And one of those benefits that we receive is gaining the purpose of our life. We get the true purpose and meaning of what we were put on this earth to do by putting our faith in the fact that Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. You know, many people struggle in life trying to figure out, what is my purpose? What is my meaning in life? What am I here for? And purpose has depth. Purpose is much more than a career, a family, an education. Purpose is much deeper than success, being financially well off. Then many people, they make the mistake of trying to figure out their purpose in life through what I call speculation. And speculation is when you ask these questions, what am I here for? What is the true meaning in life? What is my purpose? Who am I? And these are all good questions to ask. It's good to kind of meditate on these kinds of questions, but far too often what happens is they become an endless loop of question after question without really seeking the answer, because it's good to have another question. It actually becomes like a philosophical ideology. Something good to talk about, but no real answer is found. And then sometimes we try to make up our purpose. We go and we buy, there's thousands of books that teach us how to succeed in life. But that's just what they are. Success books. For instance, they teach us how to make goals, how to live out our dreams, how to clarify our values, how to cast a vision. And again, those are all good things. But those things lead to success. They go so far, and then the depth isn't there just yet. And then finally, many people use what I call the Star Wars approach. The Star Wars approach to finding their true purpose in life is to look deep within, to find their inner Yoda, and to trust in the inner strength that they have within themselves to get them through life. And truth be told, The best way to find purpose in something is to talk to its creator, right? Read the manual. When you're younger, the manuals don't really mean anything. But then when you get a little bit older, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've become my dad. I'm reading page one of the, like, I'm even reading the safety things. Everything, here's the deal. Sooner or later, every one of us have to come to the terms that we have a creator. Right? And this creator gave us his word as our manual for life. The Bible is our manual. And our creator has a purpose for every one of us in this room. And we have a manual for figuring that purpose out. And it is also filled with truths on how we can manage life. Isaiah chapter 41, God tells us through the prophet Isaiah, he says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." When we choose God, he says, "Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear. I'll always be with you. Don't get down. Don't get discouraged. Don't be dismayed. I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will hold you up, because I've never lost a battle." Amen. That's our God. These are the words from our Creator, meant for every single one of us. And all of us in this room, we come from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different upbringing. Some better than others, but our past is what shapes who we are. And because of this, we have all made decisions that determined the path that we have found ourselves on. But one thing is for certain. We have the same creator in Jesus. We all have the same creator, and he wants nothing but the best for us. And he is concerned about the very smallest detail in each one of our lives, from the smallest to the greatest. And he has a purpose and a plan for each one of us that is specifically catered towards the person we were created to be. And none of it is by accident, but all of it is by design. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're told this: Jesus died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. You see, we were created for more than just success. We were created for more than just good survival skills. We were created for a purpose. Some of us are very successful, and some of us are really good at surviving. But beyond that, we have a purpose in our lives. We were created for a significant meaning. We were created for a life that breathes purpose. A person can look good, a person can feel good, a person can have the goods, but still be empty inside. Still float through life with no real direction, no real purpose, no real fulfillment, and have what we call a God-shaped hole in their hearts. That is a hole that is there, that is empty, that only God can fill. A person can be living for them live for themselves, and sooner or later they will find out that their own strength will not carry them across the finish line. And the conclusion is made that there must be something more than this. All of us come to that conclusion. I came to that conclusion. There's got to be something more than what I'm putting my strength and my trust in. This is ingrained in all of us, that there must be something more, and that something more is a new life in Jesus. So that we no longer live life for ourselves, but we live for Jesus, who went through extreme lengths for us to recognize our need for him and his love for us. I want to read a passage from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, that speaks of this Jesus. It says this, Colossians 1, starting in verse 15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything. Everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. That is Jesus. And you see, the thing is, nothing catches God off guard. He had a plan for redemption set in place for us even before he made the world. He gave us the freedom to choose, though. He gave us free will. Jesus will never force himself upon us. We get to make the choice. And God understood that there would be consequences to those choices. As much as he loves us, there may be people that don't love him back. There may be people that don't invite him into their lives. But what he does is, he goes through extreme lengths to get our attention. Despite our free will, God will continue to hope that we put our faith in Jesus. He loved us and he chose us to be his long before the world ever began. And only through Jesus will we discover true purpose and meaning in life. Only through Jesus will we be fulfilled. But here's the deal. Put what I'm saying to the test. What I'm saying today is a message that has been preached for over 2,000 years. And there was a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, and he established churches all throughout the Mediterranean area. Shortly after Jesus was crucified and risen and is back into heaven. Paul went around and established these churches, and he wrote most of what we call the New Testament. Corinthians, Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians. These are all letters that he wrote to churches. But he said this to the Corinthians. If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, everything I'm saying today is just another good teaching. And as far as eternity goes, it's useless. But I want you to think about this. If Jesus and his resurrection is useless, why are there so many churches all around the world with all kinds of different flavors? There's a church for everybody. There's two churches just north of us, one just south of us, two more just west of us, all within a mile apart from each other. If Jesus is not the answer, then why are there so many churches that preach the good news of Jesus Christ? Why are millions upon millions upon millions of people in church today, right now, celebrating his resurrection? So another benefit, though, that we receive from the resurrection is the power Jesus has to see us through all the troubles we'll ever experience in life. Every trial, every heartache, every trouble, every ounce of sadness, Jesus will be there with us. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus, and he prayed this prayer for them. And it's a prayer that I believe holds true today. And he says this in Ephesians chapter 1. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. The same power that helps us through our heartaches is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that we ask help from, help me in this business meeting, help me find a job, help me restore my marriage, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is what helps us in our weakness. If God can breathe life back into a body that was nailed to a cross and left for dead, then he can breathe life into that marriage that needs resurrected. He can breathe life into that friendship that's been severed. He can breathe life into the hopelessness of not having a job. He can breathe life into our financial needs. He will breathe life into the despair, the depression, the anxiety, the addiction, the hurt, the pains that we go through. He will take everything that leads to death and breathe life into it. The power of God can breathe life into all that needs it when we feel we can no longer go on. Amen? Amen? Now, listen to this, though. After just saying that, I want to ask you, will a microwave work if it's not plugged into the wall? No. Will a vacuum work if it's not plugged in?
No.
Will your coffee brew if it's not plugged in?
No.
Any electric appliance, will it work if it's not plugged in?
No.
Absolutely not. The same goes for us. We cannot fulfill our purpose in life and receive the benefits of God's power if we're not connected, if we do not have a relationship with our Creator.
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 40 says this, God gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. How many times have we felt we cannot go on any longer? How many times have we begged God to help us through another day? This is the verse. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. If we are connected to him, if we have a relationship with him. The power that God gives only comes from believing in his son, Jesus. Believing that he is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. But where does the initial faith come from so a person can believe in Jesus? And how does a person continue to grow in that faith? Well, Jesus himself said this in Matthew chapter 6, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, just prior to this, Jesus was teaching about worry. He's saying, don't worry. Don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday is done. It's in the past. Now, my words would be, make amends, apologize, ask for forgiveness, do what you got to do to right the wrongs, and then leave it in the past. And Jesus said, hey, also, you know what? Tomorrow, those of you that like to worry about what's coming tomorrow, stop. Tomorrow isn't here yet. Today, there's enough worries in today. And oh, by the way, look at the birds. Look at the sparrows, the smallest of birds, and the lilies of the field. If God places the beauty in the flowers and takes care of the smallest bird out there, how much more will he take care of you, His creation. The pinnacle of His creation, mankind. Seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously. What does that mean? It means do your best. Just do your best. Do your best in following the manual He's given us. And everything you need will be poured out into your life. And maybe a couple of wants as well. You see, God is moved by our sincere desire to get to know Him, to seek His presence, and to understand His will, His ways, and His will for our lives. When we honestly seek God, He moves on our behalf. Sometimes He comes crashing in such a way that we just can't. It's a miracle. And sometimes it's subtle and slow and easy, but it's undeniable. To seek the kingdom of God is to desire true purpose in life. Reading God's word is the most important way in seeking first the kingdom. The Bible is our user manual supplied to us for all mankind by God Himself. The Bible is the most scrutinized and criticized book on the planet, but yet it remains a bestseller to this day. Riddle me that. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because this is the only piece of literature we have on this planet that is alive. It is alive. If you don't know this, begin to read it. It is a living, breathing, the living, breathing Word of God. And you know what it does? It exposes us for who we are on the inside. It reveals our true selves to ourselves, which helps us change and become the person we were created to be. Which means, with the power of God, when we believe in the Bible, we believe in the resurrection, then we begin to live life to the fullest with purpose and meaning, following the lead of our Savior, Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, "May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence." These pieces of scripture that I'm reading to you today are pieces of scripture that were written by people who experienced this. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Again, living a godly life sometimes has that, I don't know if I could do that. What that means is you're living the best you can according to God's word. You're doing your best. The more we grow in our knowledge of Jesus, the more grace and peace we experience in our lives. And that will overshadow all the hard times that we have. By His divine power, God gives us everything we need. This is the result of sincerely seeking the kingdom of God. And then the last benefit that we'll talk about today that we gain from believing in the resurrection of Jesus is that there is more to life than the here and now. There is more to life than what we experience here on earth. Death is not the end for a follower of Jesus. In John chapter 11, there's a story. A man named Lazarus has died. Good friend of Jesus's. Jesus doesn't get there in time. They've buried Lazarus. He's in a tomb. By the time Jesus gets there, one of Lazarus's sister, Martha, comes running up to him and she says, "Jesus, if only you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened." Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" And then he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, brings him back to life in front of everybody to see. I'll read this a different way. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Do you believe this? Anyone who believes in Jesus, anyone whose heart is turned towards Jesus, will live forever with him in heaven, eternal. Even after dying on this earth, we will live forever. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus. That's the story that goes on forever. And here's the deal. No amount of good deeds will earn this. No amount of money will buy this. And there's no tipping the scales in our favor for the good outweighing the bad. It's as simple as this. Romans chapter 10. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It's as simple as that. The moment we experience the goodness, the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness from Jesus, we will begin to want to learn more about him, to live for him. We tell others about him. Everything today is about the resurrection of Jesus. Everything today is the crux of our faith. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, our faith is useless. And I'm here to tell you that he had risen from the dead. Hundreds of people witnessed him, saw him walking. There's a story where the disciples were hiding in a room and he walks through the door and says, "I'm here," in his resurrected body. Church, we don't have to be the perfect people to inherit eternal life with Jesus. We just have to believe that he is the Lord of our lives and that God raised him from the dead. If we believe that, if we confess that with our mouths and believe that in our hearts, the Bible says you will be saved. Life is hard enough as it is, church, isn't it? Listen, I spent years doing it on my own. I came to the conclusion, I have a creator. He loves me. I would never do anything in my life to turn my back on him now because I believe everything I'm telling you today. Wouldn't it be nice to go through life with somebody who has the power to raise life, to resurrect life, to breathe life into a hopeless situation? Someone who stepped out of eternity to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to mankind. Jesus turned the religious system on its head in his day and exposed it for the hypocrites that it became. Listen, this isn't about a religion. Jesus exposed the religious leaders of his day for the hypocrites they had become. This is about a faith in Jesus. This is about a relationship. This is about your life, your eternity. But because he exposed them for who they were, they had him nailed to a cross. But little did they know, this was all part of God's plan to save mankind from their sinful nature. The best benefit of the resurrection, God raising Jesus back from the dead, is the promise that those who put their faith in him will live forever in heaven. Amen. This is not all there is to it here on this earth. Heaven is a place where there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more sadness. We're told this in Revelation chapter 21. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Those who put their faith in Jesus will never experience another hardship, another day of sorrow again, forever. Listen, here's what I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We have not a clue what heaven's going to look like. We can't even imagine it with our own minds. That's how glorious it's going to be. He has a purpose and a plan for your life right now. He has all the power you need to solve all the problems you're facing, to make tomorrow a new day, to face what you don't want to face, and to conquer what you don't think can be conquered. And he's knocking at the door of your heart today. Will you let him in? There's a plea in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." Jesus himself will share a meal. Do you know what that means? He is now a part of your life. He sits at the table with you and you with him. And he will never leave. He is there. The moment you invite him in, he will never, ever leave your side. I want to give those of you who don't have a relationship with Jesus an opportunity for this. Church, what I'm preaching today is for real. This isn't just a good Sunday where we wear our best. You know why I wear my best? Because I want to honor Jesus for what he's done for me. The least I could do is wear a suit and tie for what Jesus has done for me. He's changed my life, church. He's made me a better person. Every time there's a hardship that comes down my path, our path, we don't fret, we don't worry, because we know that Jesus has it under control. We know that he's sitting at the table where we sit. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with him, I'm telling you that he wants to have a relationship with you. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and here's what we'll do, church. Those of you that raise your hands, we'll say this simple prayer together. And all of us who have done this before will say the prayer with you. But if you're here today and you're saying to yourself, you know what? I really do believe Jesus is the Lord. I really do believe that God raised him from the dead. I want to experience this life. You know, church, the opposite of heaven is not good. And Jesus wants to make sure that he gets to spend eternity with you. Is there anybody here who feels that knock at their heart right now? Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. Would you let him in? Would you let him in? Just raise your hand. Show me where you're at. Let me know. I sense it. Invite Jesus into your life today. I believe that there are, amen, good for you, sister. I believe that there are people here today that God watched you come to church today, and he said, today's the day. Today's the day you and I will become friends. Anybody else here? Anybody else? Good for you. Anybody else? Well, listen. Okay, so if you've been with us for the past several weeks, you know that today's a big day. So today we take an offering today. And this offering goes to change lives around the world. In Vietnam, Brazil, and Haiti. I got a short video for you right now to watch.
This Easter, you can make a difference in people's lives around the world by giving to any of these three Easter offerings: Brazil, Haiti, and Vietnam. Let's take a closer look at what we're doing to help those in these regions. Haiti is one of the most food insecure places in the world. 2/3 of the population lacks access to adequate sanitation. Out of 10.7 million people, half are undernourished, and 22% of children are chronically malnourished. In Haiti, we're feeding children. $180 will feed one child for an entire year. Despite having one of the largest economies in the world, Brazil has a massive water and sanitation crisis. There are currently 3 million people without access to safe water and 24 million without access to improved sanitation. For those who have access to safe water, the supply is lacking because of the numerous deficiencies in drinking water systems. In Brazil, we're installing water filters to provide clean water. $195 builds one water filter, and in June each year, a team is sent to help deliver these water filters along the Amazon River. 5.8% of the population is considered disabled in Vietnam. For a country home to roughly 95 million, this equates to more than 5 million people. Often, those with disabilities face circumstances that make life more difficult, such as limited access to education, fewer work opportunities, and difficulty with transportation and self-care. In Vietnam, we're giving away wheelchairs. With just $75, we can get a wheelchair to a person that really needs it. If any of these offerings interested you, please consider giving this Easter to help someone in need.
Every dollar that comes in today and up until Friday, this entire week, will go towards these three missions. And so I'm asking you to give sacrificially today. There are children in Haiti, and if you've seen the news on Haiti, it's not good. For $180, you can feed a child for an entire year. And when they come to this place to get the food, they also have church. The gospel is preached. In Vietnam, for $75, you can purchase a wheelchair and restore the dignity to people who can't walk. It helps people get jobs. It helps them be able to do things with their families again. And again, the gospel is preached when they're given a wheelchair. And then in Brazil, there's absolutely no clean drinking water in the Amazon region. And for $195, you can provide a water filter that will give clean drinking water to a family for the rest of their lives. Church, this is a part of our church's DNA. And just to give you an example of the Easter offerings, last year we gave $76,433 to all of these, three of these. Year to date, we have given away 7,396 wheelchairs in Vietnam since 2010. We have given away 836 water filters in Brazil since 2017, and we have fed 849 children in Haiti since 2018. Since 1991, this church has been giving away its entire Easter offering. And to date, we have given away $1,636,217. What you give today and what you give throughout the week, if you send some money in throughout the week, church, it will change lives around the world. And this is what the gospel of Jesus is all about. Helping people live better lives. There's several different ways that you can give. Today, here in just a minute, we're going to head into a time of worship, but our ushers are going to come up front. They'll have a basket. You can drop some money in there. There's envelopes, some in your bulletins, some on the boxes on the back walls. If you want to designate to certain areas, you can write a check and you can designate it. You can even write it in a memo. If you just put money in the offering, we'll split it up three different ways. Also, you can go to vineyard05.com. If you click on the missions tab and then the give here tab, then you can designate to each different mission. That way as well, you can do ACH, you can do bill pay. You can actually do bill pay if you want to go home, have your bank send a check to the church and put in the memo. But every thing that comes in this week, church, doesn't go to this church. It goes to these three missions. So I'm asking you today, as part of an Easter blessing, as part of believing that Jesus rose from the dead, and as part of our faith, God says that if we help those in need, He will take care of us. So church, let's pray for our offering, and I'm asking you to give sacrificially so we can change lives around the world. Amen? Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for what today represents. I thank you, Jesus, for the sacrificial giving to these missions, Lord God, Vietnam, Haiti, and Brazil. And I want to ask, Lord God,